You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP. I'll give you definitions of those because sometimes I assume people will know what those are. CPA, Certified Public Accountant, CFP, Certified Financial Planner, AEP is an Accredited Estate Planner. On the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org, and you can listen to past shows through WDIY.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. Welcome to the show. Today is January 29th, 2014. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 15,738, the NASDAQ at 4051, and the S&P at 1774. Tonight we're discussing banking services. Experience the difference locally. Last week, I had Matt Petrozelli on the show to discuss multi-generation planning to get everyone involved. So some interesting topics of discussion there. And again, those podcasts should be available if they are not already on WDIY.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. We are live. We are here to take your questions. The phone number this evening, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Judy Ann will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so we can talk without confusion. You can hear me because there's a little bit of a delay. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. I know that tax season is starting up, so if you have some tax questions, feel free to give us a call this evening as well. I do have a guest this evening, so we want to give her an opportunity to talk about banking services. Questions can be sent through email at yourfinancialchoices.com, and I'll answer those as soon as I can get to those. So again, tonight we're talking about today's banking services, savings accounts, checking accounts, loans, online access, mobile apps, lots of innovation in the banking sector. So we want to get some information on that. And to help me, I have in the studio with me this evening, Tracy Smith, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Merchants Bank. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you to your listeners for having me this night.
Thank you very much for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Merchants Bank.
Well, I've been in banking for 32 years. I have a passion for banking. I've worked for Merchants Bank for the last 11 years. Merchants Bank was formed in 1890. We are an independent community bank headquartered in the Slate Belt, which would really cover from Mount Bethel, this is where we originally started, from Mount Bethel out towards Wingate. We have 9 branches. We're very excited that we just opened our 9th branch here in Bethlehem, right at Broad and New, so we're very pleased about that.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you. Thank you. We have been so welcomed by everybody here in Bethlehem. We could not be more pleased. We've gotten very involved with the community. We're very proud of that. And things are going very well for us.
You know, let me mention, because many, many years ago in my tenure at a law firm, we, as a paralegal basically, there was a Merchants Bank back in the day.
Yes.
And I think people sometimes confuse that Merchants Bank that went through several iterations and mergers and buyouts and changed their name so many different times. I used to say that someone could go in business just tracing the name changes on all these different bank mergers. I just want to give you an opportunity to make sure that people understand that there is a difference and it's not that old bank, because sometimes I remember, even hearing Merchants Bank. This was several years ago, so it was probably before you were in the neighborhood. And I remembered hearing someone say Merchants Bank, and I thought, oh, no, that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. That was Merchants Bank in Allentown, and my understanding is that they had an excellent reputation, so we don't often mind being confused with them. However, we have been established since 1890, and we are Merchants Bank of Bangor, which is where we are headquartered in Northampton County. So Merchants Bank of Allentown no longer is here, and Merchants Bank is still here and very proud to be so.
Okay, and I just want to let the listeners know that you and I had an opportunity to meet recently.
Yes.
And we had a great lunch. I love this woman. She's lots of fun. And I think we have to keep meeting. But one of the things you had mentioned that you were also proud of is that Merchants Bank received a recent award. Can you tell us what that was about?
We have. We have had an incredible year in recognition of our community events. One of the awards that we received was the Spirit of Forks Award, and that was for our volunteerism. The other one that we received was the Spirit of Volunteerism Award from the Volunteer Center of the Lehigh Valley. And we also, our most recent accomplishment, was receiving an outstanding CRA rating by the examiners. And that is really, banks are held to a very high standard of Community Reinvestment Act. That's what we're held accountable for. And there are a number of components to that, fair lending being one, and the other among several is not only the financial contributions that institutions make back to the communities they serve, but the other more important almost ways in which we support those that are in need. Whether it be our volunteer hours, it could be helping children read, it could be planting flowers, it could be doing a number of those things. For a financial institution to receive an outstanding CRA rating is a huge accomplishment. There are not many of us out there that have that distinguished award or rating. So we're very, very proud of that. Last year alone, Merchants Bank employees, and we only have about 100 employees, supported the community through about 2,000 hours of volunteerism. And those 2,000 hours were supplied during the workday. So that doesn't include those people that are choir directors in their churches or in PTAs, or we have several people that coach basketball and those kinds of things. That's not incorporated in those 2,000 hours. We take our community involvement as a community bank extremely seriously. Another one of our recognitions is that last year alone, approximately 7% of our income went back to the community. That's about seven times what you'll see as an average for other financial institutions. It's a significant accomplishment. We do it because we believe it's the right thing to do. We're very fortunate that we have a board of directors that supports these efforts, and our shareholders understand the importance of this as well. If you want to work for Merchants Bank, you need to have a passion to support the community. It's part of our hiring process. We will not tell you what it is that you need to be involved with, but it's a part of the interview. If we believe strongly that if you feel that it's important to support the community, that you will fit in our culture and that you will be the team participant that we need within the other 100 employees that we have. And you'll also understand the need to service the customer to the fullest extent. So supporting the community is very important to us. We have so many organizations, from Valley Youth House to Big Brothers Big Sisters to the American American Cancer Society, all sorts of different organizations that we support, and we do much of it during banking hours. So we're very fortunate, and it's extremely rewarding when you go home at night and that you know that you made a difference for your customer, but you also know you made a difference for the people that you work with or that you live near. So it's very important to us. So thank you for bringing up the awards that we've received of late, because we are very proud and we're very humble at the same time. I may be not sounding that way right now because I'm so proud, but we kind of look at these awards as we're being recognized for just doing what's right. And so we've been really honored in the last year.
Well, I think too, though, by your talking about it, you're actually encouraging it as well, in mm-hmm. not just your employees and your board, but also to listeners who might hear this and say, you know what, they can be involved. How can we be involved? And maybe they'll take that message back to their employers too, whether it's, you know, a big corporation or a small business or a mom and pop. Folks, we're getting ready for our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion talking about banking services and learning more about banking locally as well. The phone number for questions this evening, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
There are only a few days left to get your tickets for WDIY's annual party, Winter Blast, Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets for this benefit are available at WDIY.org. They include complimentary food, drinks, live performance by the Doughboys, and our famous silent auction where you'll find Iron Pig's season passes for two, weekends for two in historic Jim Thorpe, including dinner, hotel, and show, and Lehigh Valley Zoo family passes. Go to WDIY.org and get your tickets today.
Thank you, and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking with Tracy Smith, Executive VP and COO of Merchants Bank out of Bangor. That's where they started, but are expanding into the Lehigh Valley, opening a new branch at Broad and New.
Yes.
And folks, if you have questions, 610-758-8810. So we just got a little bit of history about Merchants Bank. This is the Merchants Bank that's been around since 1890 and has a culture of giving back to the community. So it's not just that you're in the community with branches and serving your local customers, but you're giving back in a number of ways, and you've recently received these awards, which is really wonderful. So part of that, you said, fits right into your culture. And I want to just touch on one thing before we start talking about some of the traditional banking services, is that it was interesting to me that you said you look for that in the people you hire, what they're doing in the community, how they're giving back. You give them the opportunity to not only do that on their own time, but also during working hours, and that it fits into the culture because it also makes a difference in the client experience and the client service.
Absolutely.
So that's the culture you're looking for. It's the giving back in the community, but that type of personality is also the people that are behind the counter when you come into the bank and are looking to say, how can they help you, the customer, as well as part of their job. You know, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, because I used to work retail and everything, that's what makes it more fun.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so often I go into whatever institution or service oriented, you know, it could be a store. It is amazing to me that people can be kind of so grumpy these days or not willing to help when, you know, when I worked, it made it a heck of a lot more fun when you're friendly with people and can make the day go so much faster. And I know I'm simplifying it quite a bit, Tracy, and I know you're going to have the opportunity to say what it means to be involved in the community and taking care of everything. But congratulations on all
Thank
your
you.
Awards. I'm very
Thank
excited
you.
For you. So let's talk about some of the traditional services in banking. And folks, if you have questions tonight, the phone number 610-758-8810. What I forgot to mention is you can talk live on air with us, which is the most fun for us. Or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you could just give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down, and then she'll bring that into the studio for us. So it's all about comfort here for you, the listener. But we welcome your calls and love them. 610-758-8810. So talking about some of the traditional banking services, in my industry, financial services, we always talk about people having an emergency fund or earmark funds that they know that they're going to have to use, let's say, maybe in the next year or two, because we want to keep it protected, preserve that principal. Maybe we don't want it invested because we don't want them to have any volatility or risk for losing any of that principal if we know that they're, you know, going to need it for some reason. And I know that there's times where people just don't want any volatility and they don't want any risk. And so they do look to banks as their first go-to place to put their money, better than under the mattress for sure. Mm-hmm. So banks offer opportunities for savings. And I know a lot of times people are talking about interest rates, you know, are so low now and they're not getting anything on their money. But that's the case, whether it's banking or even money market funds, mutual funds that have money markets. It's tough to kind of get good returns. But that's not what it's all just about. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight, folks, about different opportunities from banking services as far as savings account, money market, checking accounts. Also, as the show goes on, we'll probably talk about the insurance limits, FDIC. That's one of the reasons a lot of people also are attracted to bank accounts. So, Tracy, what are some of the typical rates that we're seeing on some of these accounts now? And is there a big difference or much of a difference between savings account and money market accounts? Can you talk to that?
There is a difference, and we are seeing a wide range of rates. We, on a weekly basis, look at all of the competitor rates within the market, and you can see 1 basis point on a savings account up to 5, up to 10 basis points.
Can we explain what basis points means to people? Let me quickly say, folks, when we talk about basis points in the industry, if we say 100 basis points, it means 1%. So 10 basis points means 0.1%. Okay, so when we talk about basis point change, it might mean a point change in the interest rate, in a very simple example. Okay,
exactly. There's a number of different ways that our customers can remain liquid, and that would be regular savings accounts that have a much lower minimum amount. All banks typically have some level of minimum. You'll find that the rates on a regular savings account are a little bit lower than you might find on a money market account. Money market accounts normally have tiered rates, which means the larger your balance, the higher the rate that you'll get on that. Both accounts are liquid. You can access those at any time. There are some withdrawal limits, not necessarily withdrawal limits, but the way in which you would make a withdrawal on a money market account. But you could come into a branch every day and access that account if you wanted to. Then you have clients that have certificates of deposit, and they may ladder those. And what I mean by laddering a certificate of deposit strategy would be you might have some assets that are in a 12-month period. Now that you can't touch for 12 months. You'll get a little bit of a higher rate. Then some may put a little bit more into 24 months and 36 months. We find sometimes that a customer may have $10,000 or $25,000, and they think they should buy one certificate of deposit with that $25,000. And that isn't necessarily the case. Depending on their liquidity needs, they may want to separate that, buy one for $5,000, another one for $10,000, et cetera, until they get to that $25,000. And broaden their time horizon and maximize the rate potential that they have on those investments. So many of our customers will have their checking account just for their basic bill paying needs. Some will have a savings account. Savings accounts are very popular for children. People will open those for their children. And they may have a money market account and some certificates of deposit. And that gives them a broad spectrum to be able to manage their liquidity in an easy way, if you will.
I want to go back to, before our next break, we still have a couple minutes. I want to go back to something you just said about the laddering of the CDs, and I think you had said broadening their time horizon, but also maybe maximizing their return. And I think it's important to just go back to that for a second. So in an example, you said someone might come in with $25,000, and they might think, you know what, I might need this money in 6 months. But maybe they really might not need the whole 25.
Exactly.
So in their mind, they think, you know, I think I need to get to this, so I'm going to put it in a 6-month CD, $25,000. But maybe in a conversation they have with one of your representatives, we discover that they only need access to $5,000. So what they could do is put $5,000 into maybe that 6-month CD and get one rate. Maybe $10,000 in a 1-year CD. They might get a higher rate because it's a longer term CD.
Yes.
And then, let's see, I'm at 15, maybe another 10 then in a 24 month. So then what that looks like, folks, when you have this laddered portfolio is after 6 months, you could either cash the $5,000 and take it out and use it for whatever you thought you needed it, knowing that in 6 months, your year long CD would be due and that's going to be ready. Or at that 6-month point, you might realize, you know, maybe you didn't need it. So then you could actually turn that 6-month CD into a 24-month CD from that date. And then your year one becomes due in 6 months. So it's kind of like when we say ladder, it's almost more like a circular plan mm-hmm. for getting access to your money while trying to make it work for you a little bit better. And once you establish that, it gets a little bit easier to follow and understand. Folks, we're at our next break. If you have questions, we welcome them. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. The phone number tonight, 610-758-8810. We're talking about banking services. Experience the difference locally. We have in the studio this evening Tracy Smith, Executive VP and Chief Operating Officer at Merchants Bank. Yes, the Merchants Bank that's been around since 1890 and has a new location in Bethlehem at New and Broad, among other locations in the valley, all the way up, you said the Slate Belt, but
exactly, we have nine branches in Northampton County.
Okay, so you do have bricks and mortar, actual bank locations for folks to go, because I think there was a period of time where people thought, you know, banks were even going to kind of go away and everyone's going to do everything online. But it's kind of nice to see those bank locations around that people can still pull up to and run in and ask questions if they need to, make their deposits, take withdrawals. So you, I imagine, also have some online access as well. How have you seen that change in the past few years, and what type of access do bank customers expect now? And I'm interested in knowing if you've seen a change in how they're using it. So you have the bricks and mortar. You have online access, I imagine. And if you want, we can break this down into a couple different topics. If you want to start with the locations and what you see going on in there and what kind of happens in the branches, and then we can move into online access if you want.
I think our customers' behavior, or all customers and banking's behavior, is dramatically shifting. Technology is becoming increasingly important, and banks are providing the services, whether it be mobile banking, and that is having access to be able to pay your bills, transfer money, payment to payment. Lori, for example, if I wanted to send you a payment for something, I could do that on a mobile phone. Online banking, which is the traditional go to your computer, sign in, that kind of a transaction. We're also looking at businesses in particular are looking at something called remote deposit capture. And that's whereby the business would have a scanner and all of their checks are put right through the scanner and sent. Believe it or not, at least for our bank, when you come in and you cash a check or you make a deposit, that check doesn't go anywhere. Years ago, there were couriers that would pick up that work, take it to the Fed, it would go through the clearing process, et cetera. That's no longer necessary. So when a customer comes in and has a transaction, we put it right through a scanner. That check is turned into an image and immediately processed. We hold on to the physical check for a period of time, and then they're destroyed. So technology is becoming increasingly important. Customers have access to their funds faster than they ever have before. Years ago, you'd have to wait an X number of days until all those funds were available. It's not necessarily the case anymore. We're also looking at being able to, and some banks have this, being able to take a picture of your check from the convenience of your home and make a deposit. You don't even have to go to the branch. We're finding that the transactions that are occurring in the branch are becoming more of a consultation type of an experience, where if a customer wants to come in and really have a conversation, some of the topics that we spoke of tonight, they want to talk about laddering CDs or what types of accounts they need. There's so many types of checkings now, and pretty much most of the banks offer similar products. sometimes it can be overwhelming. So we encourage people to come in and have conversations with us. Let us understand how you do your banking so that we can match you with the right product and minimize any fees. And oftentimes you won't have any fees. Mm-hmm. But that conversation becomes critically important. We are at the point now where you can go into many of the branches and you can have all of your financial needs taken care of, whether that is buying investments, applying for your mortgage, getting a home equity loan or car loan, whatever it might be. There are more meaningful conversations around financial planning, not the type of financial planning necessarily that you do, Lori, but being able to provide a customer with solutions that are very custom and very specific to what they do. Businesses are using this remote deposit capture because it helps them. They don't have to have an employee run to the bank.
Right, and pay for that time and that mileage and travel.
And it's very convenient for them. So that's becoming very popular. I know that I have one son, and I don't know, it's been years since he has seen the inside of a bank because that generation in particular is doing everything electronically. We're seeing all of the demographics that we serve. You can't necessarily believe that it is a younger generation that is adopting technology. That's not true. We're finding many that are seniors and that are adopting it as well because maybe they can't get out of their home as frequently as they once could. So they're very comfortable with online banking. I know that there's been a great deal in the news lately about some card compromises and things of that nature. I firmly believe that banking online, mobile capture, and those types of things that banks offer are safe. I do it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe that it was safe. The regulators that control all of the banks monitor this very closely. Yes, there have been some issues, but the issues that you read of are really not bank-related. They're more other, you know, retail-related mm-hmm. types of things. So technology is becoming very important. And it's important for the financial services industry to keep up with that. Mm-hmm. We were very proud because as a community bank, we were the first one to launch mobile banking. Some of the larger banks had it, but from a community bank perspective, we were the first one to do it. So we were ahead of the curve. So we continue to be ahead of the curve. We continue to look at the opportunities, listen to what our customers need, and be prepared to deliver those services securely, promptly, and in a way that's very user-friendly.
At the branches, do they meet with customers who might be interested in online banking that you can explain it to them a little bit?
Absolutely. We'll do demonstrations. And with our bank, even with our businesses, when they set up this remote deposit capture that I just explained, we actually go to the business. We provide the training. We set up their computers. We do all of that. We're not just sending them a disk and say, here, you know, good luck or train yourself type of thing. Mm-hmm. We actually go to the businesses and do that.
I know that we had talked before and you said that's one of the things you love doing the most is getting out in the community and talking with the businesses and working with them.
Oh,
I do. So would this be an example of that?
It's a perfect example because I really like to be a part of a customer's growth or helping provide a solution. I'm not designed to be in my office all the time. That's not where the reward is for me. I would much rather go out to a vineyard or to an oil company or whatever it might be and be able to add that additional value and say, you know what, we're going to set this up for you. We understand that you're busy, you have a business to run, but we're going to provide a level of service that was unexpected to you, and we're going to come set this up. We're going to train your employees. Our bank serves almost 50% of the municipal agencies in Northampton County. Very proud of that. That requires training when a municipality or a township or a city switches banks. We go and provide all of the training. We will sit with the person that's going to run cash management or actually have to process the work, that kind of stuff. We had one customer that had a staffing challenge, and they were in a dilemma. So we sent some of our people to their office, and we ran their payroll for them because it was that important. And we are flexible enough and sophisticated enough that we can do those kinds of things.
That's great. That sounds good. I'm getting inspired. Folks, we're coming up on another break. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit WDIY.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Merchants Bank, Tracy Smith. She's doing an awesome job. We're talking about banking services. Experience the difference locally. It's about awareness and helping out our community here to bring programs like this to you, education and helping our community, just like Tracy has explained how much their bank likes helping the community as well. So that's why we do this. I also want to remind folks that the WDIY Winter Blast is this Saturday, February 1st. I plan on attending. So if you are a member, listener, fan of the show and you are there Saturday night, please come up and introduce yourself. I would love to meet you. I'd like to get any feedback on the show. If you have questions this evening about banking services or anything that we've talked about tonight or tax questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call in and talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it into the studio. Right before the break, we were talking with Tracy about the idea of banks and bricks and mortar and having a place to go and talk to folks about getting more information. Some people are just comfortable continuing to go into a bank. Younger generation, not just younger people, sometimes older people as well, or getting into the technology, using mobile apps, using mobile technology to do some of their banking, online banking as well. And Tracy had mentioned that some people might be a little nervous about that. But one thing I had wanted to add to that, Tracy, is it was just as nervous, or people should have been nervous when they used to get their Social Security checks in the mail, because people used to be charged with, you know, absconding with checks that came in the mailbox. So, in fact, Social Security checks now, I have to all get direct deposited, and people have to have a bank account, a place to have that Social Security check go to. So even the government is using it, right?
Absolutely.
So I have found that many people are afraid to invest in the markets because they want to keep track of their money. They're nervous about their money, preserving their principal. So some folks do like to keep their money in the bank. But one of the concerns I have sometimes when I work with clients doing financial planning is I look at their balances and, you know, we have to kind of caution them about the FDIC limits when we look at the coverage if they have too much money in any one bank. Can we talk about FDIC insurance for a minute?
Sure.
Years ago, the coverage used to be $100,000. So occasionally I would have some people come in and they'd have $100,000 in Bank A, Bank B, Bank C, Bank D,
yes.
Bank E. And it would be like, oh, okay. So when they raised the limit to $250,000, that got a little bit easier to manage and we could kind of consolidate folks who had cash everywhere. But a lot of people aren't even aware that the limits went up to $250,000. So can we talk about that? And I know that people have mentioned that there is a program for certain balances over a certain amount that they can actually have more money than that in a bank. I'm not as familiar with that. And if you know what I'm talking about, maybe you could address that. It's something about they kind of put the money out overnight to bunch of different banks. So let's talk a little bit about FDIC insurance, but let me say the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. So FDIC insurance.
You're right. The limit has been changed to $250,000, and I would expect that maybe some of your listeners would be surprised to know that if they title their accounts in a certain fashion, they could be insured up to $2.5 million with one bank. And it goes by account title. So, for example, you could have an account with just a husband. That's $250,000. The wife could have an account with $250,000. You could have joint accounts. You can have accounts with your children. It's all the aggregate is all derived by the titling of the accounts. IRAs are in there a little bit differently. The FDIC has a great website that you can go to, which is www.fdic.gov/EDIE. And it's an actual FDIC insurance calculator where you can go directly.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
You can go online and you can actually calculate by account title the level of insurance that you can obtain at a bank. Now, most banks, at least in our bank, our branch employees are very well versed in this. So if we have a customer, just like the one that you spoke of, that used to have that $100,000 in five banks, we will counsel them into how they can change their titles without changing necessarily ownership. In some cases it may, and still be protected. So you can get to $2.5 million in one institution. Your previous question was in reference to what they call as repurchase agreements. And typically you'll find those with businesses that have needs that are above the $250,000. I'll try and simplify it the best that I can. A repurchase agreement is secured by collateral that the bank owns. So you're not necessarily, once you get over that $250,000, you're not secured by the FDIC. You're secured by an asset that the bank owns, typically their treasuries. So on a daily basis, we go out and we look at the customer's balance, and then we match it to securities that we own. And all banks do it the same, and it's called a repurchase agreement. That's something that requires a conversation with a customer to make sure that that's really what they need. Typically, it's the larger businesses that do that. If a bank were to ever have a financial crisis, the customer could actually take the CUSIP number of the security right to any broker and be able to get their money based on what we use to secure it. So, and there's some regulations around what types of securities can be used in this process. You'll see attorneys. Attorneys will often use a repurchase agreement because they're managing assets of their clients. You'll see government agencies that will do it. Theirs is a little bit different in what they call, it's called Act 72. When you have a city or a municipality, the tax dollars of that are gathered have to be insured. And banks know how to take care of that and meet the requirements of the state and therefore the residents of that community. So there are very creative ways, all of which are very safe and very organized. But you need a good banker to help walk you through that, and any good banker can do that for you.
Very good. For example, I know that, too, sometimes the bankers and the client, the financial advisor, the attorney can work together, even with estate planning, to affect not only good planning around what they have in the bank, but also maybe affect some good estate planning along with it. Because, as you said, one of the account titling, it could be solely held, joint, and also maybe even in trust for. Mm-hmm. And some of those account titlings, folks, will make assets non-probate, and that could impact and help some of your financial planning or estate planning as well. So it's all about making sure that one part of your financial life, that you consider what's going to happen in another part of your financial life, and it's all really good, powerful information. So we're trying to educate folks, put it all together, get help, have the conversations, and also for businesses to have those conversations as well, because sometimes businesses might not even, they might have been small, and all of a sudden one day they wake up and they have these assets that they need help with, so they can have conversations with with you as well.
And the strength of the financial institution is just as important. Whether you have an amount that is covered by the FDIC or an amount that exceeds that, understanding the financial health of the institution that you're involved with is just as important. But I would encourage your listeners to really talk to their banker, because, as you said, with the estate planning piece, if they have five banks out there, it makes it very difficult on those that are going to manage their estate to kind of gather all of those assets and organize it when there's, you know, when somebody passes. So it makes it more efficient all the way around.
Right. Especially when people go in and buy CDs at a number of different banks,
right,
because they're trying to chase rates, and the kids or the surviving spouse might not even be aware of that. It depends on how good the records were being kept. And all of a sudden, if they had on their tax return, where a lot of times that's where you look to kind of marshal the assets, they have bank ABC, but we completely miss that dad ran to bank D, E, and F because he was chasing rates, you might miss some assets, or it might tie it up and take a little longer.
Sure.
Can I just mention one other thing? When folks get into CDs, obviously you're buying CDs for a period of time and there's a maturity, and because the bank is, you know, offering you a little bit better rate because you're agreeing to keep the money there for a little bit longer of time. Since we brought up estates and people dying, a lot of people might not be aware that there's usually an exception to an early withdrawal penalty on a CD in the case of death.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought I'd mention that, because sometimes people think they can't cash a CD when someone's died because it hadn't reached maturity yet. So,
well,
I just wanted.
And another point, too, is that if we'll go back to the $25,000 example, if the customer had purchased one certificate and there was an emergency and they needed 5,000 of that, not all banks, but some banks will only charge the penalty on the 5,000 that the customer needs to take out early. That's another conversation that you need to have with your banker as well. It's not, if you only need five, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take the whole 25 and pay the penalty on the whole 25.
That's very good.
The penalty can be anywhere from 1 typically to 3 months worth of interest loss. So that would be a conversation that I would have with my banker to understand if they do it that way.
That's very good information. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So we've talked a bit about the different saving opportunities at banks, savings account, money market, checking accounts sometimes have probably interest and sometimes they don't, and you would talk with your banker about your options as far as that goes. Online banking, mobile banking, bricks and mortar banking, all of those opportunities. Talked about FDIC insurance coverage limits, asset titling, account titling, and having some strategies there. Banks also do lending. Can we talk about lending for a minute? And we have two minutes before our next break, and then we can continue talking about lending after that break. So, folks, if you have questions, we have about 18 minutes left. Phone number 610-758-8810. So let's do an intro on lending.
Well, let's talk about the myth. I think that there's a myth that banks are not willing to lend. That is not the case at all.
I'll stop saying it.
No, it's not the case
I'm
at all.
Kidding.
I will tell you that in some cases it has become more challenging, but it certainly is not the case. All of us want to continue to lend, whether it be to businesses, consumers, for people to buy homes, whatever it may be. So I would remove that myth. But we are proud of the fact that all of our loan decisions in all three categories are made locally, by people that live here and that work for Merchants Bank and that are most often your neighbors, or they go to church with you, whatever it might be, which is a real advantage because we have the opportunity to really understand not only your financial strength, but your character. And believe it or not, there's still a part of lending that is character-based. And it's not just the old, I'm going to use a credit scoring, which maybe not all listeners know, but it doesn't just go through a computer and say, yes, we're going to do it, or no, we're not going to do it. We would much rather have meaningful conversations with our customers to understand what they're trying to accomplish so that we hopefully can meet their need.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm sitting here so absorbed in what she's saying, I forgot I have to talk. You finished your sentence, and I'm like, yeah, tell me more. So
I guess that's
lending, it's not a myth that banks are not lending. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some different opportunities with lending locally as well. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute for the final part.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. The time now is 6:45. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. We are in the studio this evening with Tracy Smith, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Merchants Bank, the Merchants Bank that's been in the community since 1890. With a new branch at Broad and New as well. And I'm thoroughly enjoying the show. I really like Tracy.
That's good.
I'm lucky I get good guests. So folks, we're talking about banking services and we have about 14 minutes left. If you have questions, we welcome them. You're not interrupting us. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call live and talk with us in the studio, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and she'll bring it into the studio. So we ended the last segment of the show with the last comment that we want to get rid of the myth that banks don't want to lend money, or that it's hard to lend money, or it's hard to get money these days. It's about, again, what you've been talking about through the whole show is about having a conversation with your banker and seeing how you can work together and what makes sense, and that banks are actually willing to lend. It just might be a little bit more complicated, or more conversations around it nowadays than it used to be, which as it should. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about lending. So I know typically we talk to banks maybe about going in for a mortgage, for example. And there's different kinds of options for mortgages. We hear people talk about fixed rates and ARMs, and sometimes people don't know what ARMs mean. Then they talk about 15-year mortgages or 30-year mortgages, and then refinancing. So can we kind of give some definitions or some structure around some of the terms that we would have if we were going to go in and talk to a banker about lending? Possibly, maybe I'm a new homeowner, or maybe I want to refi. Let's take some time to talk about what folks should be paying attention and how it can make a difference for them in their lending options and being successful with getting what's right for them.
It's going to go back to the conversation again. Having a conversation with your mortgage originator in a bank is critically important. And I know that the average consumer is rate sensitive. So they may go online and think that they're going to get, again, back to a few basis points off by applying online to a bank that they've never heard of. I would encourage them not to do that, because the amount that they think that they're going to save, they're going to make up on the servicing side by having a conversation with their banker. The difference often, depending on the size of the mortgage, between a 30-year fixed rate and a 15-year fixed rate is often so much smaller than a first-time homeowner expects it to be. When I bought my first home very, very, very long time ago, I think it was like a $50 difference between a 30-year mortgage and a 15-year mortgage. I wish I had had a really good banker at the time that had explained that to me, and that was before I was in banking. So you can go to a bank and get a pre-qualification letter and work with the mortgage originators, and they'll look at your financial position and help you understand not only what you can afford and qualify for, but how that's going to impact your life. You don't necessarily want to see a first-time homeowner married to their mortgage payment. You want them to still be able to have some breathing room. A good banker will help them understand what that level is. So you have your traditional where you're going to go in, you're going to borrow money for 15 years or 30 years and pay it as agreed. There are some new products, not new, but they're becoming more popular, which are the ARMs, which are adjustable rate mortgages. In the rate environment that we've been in over the last couple of years, people felt that they really weren't popular. But they're very popular to a unique segment of homeowners that are people that don't expect to be in their home any longer than 5 or 7 years. They're buying their starter home. They expect to move. It could be someone that's only going to live here for a short period of time. It could be a borrower who's already in their home that only owes 5, 7, 10 years left on their mortgage, and they don't feel that refinancing the mortgage under a more traditional method, 15 or 30 year, is cost effective for them. So an adjustable rate mortgage typically will have a base rate. Our 3 year or 3-1 ARM right now is at 2.75. A 5-1, that's with 1 point. A 5-1 is at 3.375. And then the way it'll work is, in that particular product, it'll have a cap. It could be 6%, so that for the life of that loan, it's not going to exceed a rate of 6%. And then there's an annual cap where it won't exceed whatever that threshold. In our case, it's 2%. So you know that in a one-year basis, your rate's not going to go up over 2% for that year, nor will it go up 6% over the life of the loan. A good mortgage originator will sit down and help you understand that math and help you understand, is this the right way for me to go? How much money am I going to save? What rate environment are we in? What expectation do we have that rates are going to go up? In our bank, our mortgage originators actually go to settlement. It's not like there's an overnight package coming to the settlement table and you're wishful that everything is there and everything's going to go through well. Our mortgage originators actually go to settlement. First of all, they want to shake your hand and congratulate you. You know, they want to be a part of your joy when you're closing on your home. Plus, they want to be there to make sure that they can answer any last minute questions and that kind of thing. I think that's important. And I think that when you have homeowners that are looking at rate, and it's just the smallest difference, you're going to far make that up in the service that you'll get from a community bank because of the service and the guidance that good mortgage originator will give you and the peace of mind. Our mortgage originators understand shift work. They understand that there are people that don't get out of work until 10 o'clock. They'll talk to you at 10 o'clock at night. They understand that there are those that only have availability on the weekends. Our mortgage originators will meet with you on the weekend. So it's all a part of the service. It's all a part of the conversation. And it goes back to the joy of being in banking in my mind, because I'm passionate about it. I want to be a part of someone's excitement. I want to be there to shake their hand and say, you know, congratulations on your first home. Because I remember how exciting it was when I bought my first home. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to interview a mortgage originator, almost like you would interview a realtor, and pay just as close attention to who's going to process the financing of your loan as to the amount of time you take to select the home that you're going to purchase. In my view, it's equally important because it's probably the largest financial transaction you'll have. It's probably the largest that you've had at that point in your life. And you want someone that's going to really walk you through it and make sure that you're making the right decisions.
You mentioned something about when we talked about ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages. If someone, you know, I've had folks who are 24 years into their mortgage. They only have 6 years left. Maybe they're at a, maybe they had refied at some point. I don't know. They're, you know, 6%. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, gosh, I only have 6 years left. It's probably not worth it for me to refinance. And you had just mentioned that someone might not need to do a traditional refi. They could actually look at an ARM for that at that point.
Absolutely.
So that's an opportunity for someone to maybe lock into a lower rate. Because if they're at 6% and they could get on an ARM, maybe you said like 3.3 or something, there's a chance it could go up, but there's a chance that it might not go up. Now,
exactly.
Do ARMs ever go down?
No, not normal.
Okay,
no.
So there's a rate that they come into with that. Okay, so that's an opportunity for folks who might even have just a few years left on a loan that maybe they actually had at 7%.
Exactly.
Because there are people who just don't want to pay attention or take the time to kind of go through that hassle. So, all right, now also, do you talk to people about home equity lines of credit as well? Is
Absolutely.
That part of the conversation typically? Is it in conjunction with when they come in for a loan? Sometimes first-time home buyers are barely have the equity in the home. So we're talking about maybe someone who might be coming in for a refi.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I try to talk to folks about is if they don't have a line of credit or a home equity line of credit, if they're getting closer to retirement, it might be a time to set that up.
Absolutely.
While they can still qualify for such a thing.
Absolutely.
And then they can use that for an emergency. What kind of rates are you looking at on that type of?
It depends. The rates are very competitive. It depends on really the structure of what they want to do. And I would encourage them again to talk to their banker. Back to the ARMs for one moment, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage your listeners to talk to their banker because they'll help them figure out the math. So the person that you just referenced that may only have 5, 6, 7 years left on their mortgage at whatever the rate is, a good mortgage originator is going to sit down and go through the math and say, this is probably worth you doing, or at least in our bank, we'll tell you if we believe it not to be, because we want you to be happy in the end. Home equity loans are very important. People use them to pay for college education and emergencies and those kinds of things. I think they're important to have. But when we do a mortgage, we also look at whether there's enough equity there, and we talk to our borrower about that. So again, they're making the most informed decision when they have the time and they're looking at what's important to them.
That's excellent. I also have found sometimes folks will have the money to pay off their existing mortgage. In my example, again, maybe this person had 6 years left and they mm-hmm. actually have the money that they could pay it off, but maybe they're using the interest rate as mm-hmm. an advantage for themselves. They pay a low interest rate, they get a tax deduction for their mortgage interest, so the after tax cost of that mortgage might be, I don't know, 3%. And if they're investing maybe in, and I'm just going to give an example, maybe they could get an after-tax rate in the markets of, you know, 10%. So for them, it's a way to use that money.
Sure, leverage so it. Mm-hmm.
Then an ARM actually might even look attractive in that regard, because even if the rate goes up more than what they had originally thought, if they have the money on the sidelines, they could pay it off. You can go into an ARM, take the advantage of the low rate. If it goes up more than they expected,
Lori,
switch it out.
Exactly, you're right on. That's
okay.
Exactly what we're trying to educate the borrower to look at.
Okay. I want to give us a minute at the end to kind of summarize, but can you quickly tell the audience what a commercial loan is and why would someone, you know, what is a commercial loan? Does your bank do commercial loans as well?
Absolutely.
Let's tell them what that is, because we might have some entrepreneurs out there who might need to know something.
Sure. Commercial loans are typically for businesses, or for a business purpose is what I should say. They could be for equipment. They could be for buildings. They could be for working capital. They could be for funding accounts receivable. They could be for a number of different things. Often the loan is in the name of the business. They could be personal guarantees from the business owners themselves. But yes, we do commercial loans. They're not as clear cut where you say that this particular loan is going to be priced at such. It's really developed or driven by the strength of the borrower, the need of the borrower, how they want it structured, those kinds of things. But we have commercial lenders that, again, will walk the borrower through that, help look at the expansion needs that they have, work with the SBA if there's a need there. So yes, we absolutely do commercial loans.
Okay, great. It's been wonderful having you, Tracy. As Tracy mentioned, it's a great community bank, and their motto is experience the difference locally, and I certainly felt that tonight through talking with you. Banking services have evolved. It's not just bricks and mortar anymore. It's mobile application, online applications, and other financially related services as well. You have a website?
We do, www.merchantsbangor.com.
Banger is B-A-N-G-O-R, because I'm from Michigan and we say Bangor. So Merchants Bangor or Bangor.com. And you're at, which branch are you?
My office is in Forks Township.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for being here, Tracy. I really appreciate
thank
it.
You, Lori.
Did a great job. Thank you for coming on and taking your time. Next week, my guest will be journalist Carrie Pector and author of Annuities for Dummies. We will talk about annuities, understanding their use and their differences. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks again, Tracy. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive. And make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.